This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no, no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Now, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Bleacher Bumps. I'm one part of your team, Jimbo, here. I'm going to have to give a graceful Happy New Year to everyone from Steve, from Fish, and from Jono, as they're not here to say so themselves. So hope everybody had a great holiday weekend as the boys are out. And luckily for us, we have one of the greatest interns in the history of interns here at lineupmedia.fm, and that's our man, Blake Bamber. Blake, welcome to the show.
Hey, that's a fine introduction there, Jim. Thank you very much.
Well,
Glad to be here.
We needed to just jump you right in because you are, without doubt, the king of the interns. No doubt about it. You're Mr. Intern himself. The guys are gone. You're up. I mean, sometimes this is how it gets done in the major league sometimes, pal.
Exactly.
Guys are out, and certain guys are in. So, you know, you're in.
I'm a Ledmez Diaz. They didn't expect me, but I'm coming in.
Well, you know, off season, okay, up until this point, sometimes we go searching for topics and talk about some of the great things that are going on within the behind-the-scenes action of baseball. Sometimes we get a great free agent signing or maybe some trades, flurry of activity. Lately, not much happening. I got to tell you, though, I've always felt like once January 2nd gets here, once we get past the holiday, that pitchers and catchers reporting is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. So the juices get going. Everybody knows that the show is based out of the St. Louis area. And while, you know, not every guy in here is a Cardinal fan, we're Major League Baseball fans across the board. Heck, one of the – Jono is well known to not like the Cardinals at all and is a big Reds fan. But we all love the game of baseball. But I got to tell you, I was at the Winter Classic, which was, you know, the whole world knows. The Blackhawks and the Blues played at Busch Stadium. Being in there for a hockey game versus a baseball game, while I was enjoying all of that, and it was obviously it's, you know, the day after New Year's, it's mm-hmm. January 2nd, I'm looking around, and I had a phenomenal time. And let me tell you something. They've got this right. This playing this outdoor game, whether it be in a football stadium or a baseball stadium, no doubt about it. Somebody very bright, great idea, no doubt. I still was looking around, and it was still Busch Stadium, and it still made me think, with 40-something days, they report. So the juices start going, and now here we are, first episode back after the new year. Each day is a day closer to catchers and pitchers reporting. I'm ready for baseball.
Yeah, and you actually got to go in the ballpark, and, like, there were all fans there, obviously since the Winter Classic was being played, so you feel the energy. And
that's right.
You want it. You want that Cardinal baseball energy again. But
you know, it was amazing how the feel was kind of like a baseball game.
Hmm.
And I don't know if it was the surroundings or whatever, but the home team gets scored on right away. A bad bounce. You know, the puck really bounced a lot. Mm-hmm. It kind of bounced over the goalie. It was really a weird goal.
Huh.
But whatever. The home team's down 1-0. And as the game went on, the Blues were trying to come back, trying to come back. There was a little bit of a lull. Kind of felt like a baseball game where the home team's losing. And they can't get any hits, and you're just like, it gets kind of dull, you know, and you're kind of waiting. And then maybe they put a little something together, and you can kind of feel the momentum building.
Mm-hmm.
Tarasenko rings one off the post, and you could feel the whole stadium go, oh. So I could immediately feel like it was just like a baseball game when your team's one hit away from getting in the game or tying it up or winning the game or whatever. The crowd was waiting for it. And then when the Blues did score to tie it, place went crazy. And then when Tarasenko – the big player, the hometown guy. He's our guy, goal scorer, you know, top one of the top guys in the league. He buries the game-winning goal and then puts another a snipe. The place erupts, and it felt like a baseball game when, like, Yachty or Matt Holliday or Pujols over the years would get a big hit for the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
So no matter what city you're in, it's amazing how when you get in that bigger environment, how it all translates. The excitement, really.
Yeah, yeah, you can definitely feel it, too. It's electric, honestly.
And that's, for me, why I love baseball. I mean, I guess, you know, sometimes you go to these games, like, and again, I love the minor league experience. We have an independent league team here in town. Mm-hmm. The Gateway Grizzlies do an unbelievable job. You're obviously familiar with them.
I was an intern with them for a while.
Yes.
And I intern other places.
And it is a great feel. I love it. But it's different. And I say that to people all the time. Don't compare it to a big league game. You've got to want to go and do that intimate thing, right? Like where everything's tight and close. I have to say that while I enjoy that very much, I also, on the flip side, I love the big stage of a big Major League Baseball stadium. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
And it just gives me a different feel. It's a different feel than when I go to a Blues game, even though I think they're so exciting because they're so fast and there's all the hitting and all the moving. I tell you, man, I got to tell you, I've said on another show, I was at Game 6 when Freeze hit the home run. I was there the next night when they won. I was there in 06 when Edmonds not 06, I'm sorry. I was there in 04 in Game 6 when Edmonds hit the home run. I was there the next night. It was all against Houston. I was there the next night when Edmonds made the catch, and then Pujols doubles off Clemens like in the 6th or 7th inning or whatever it was, and rolling homers to take the lead. I was there. And, again, felt like the stadium was shaking. On all those, like, not on the Edmonds catch, but when Roland hit the home run, and then fast forward to the new stadium, when Freeze hit the home run, and then when they won, the stadium was shaking, right?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, when Tarasenko scored, the place erupted. And then it was one long, continuous just flow of energy throughout the stadium. I love the big stage, and that's why I think I love baseball so much. It's coming. We can feel it. And for all of our listeners out there, no matter what team you like, our man Fish always says, right now, this time of year, we are all tied for first. So
we're all undefeated.
Yeah, that being said, there's been a little bit of hay made in the offseason here. We've got some teams that have signed some guys. We've got some trades. We've got some things that have happened. Mm-hmm. We've still got some notable free agents out there. I mean, there's a couple names that are very familiar to people. We got Trumbo still out there. This guy last year hit 40.
Can hit.
Yeah, I mean, dude can hit home runs, no doubt.
Yeah.
We got Jose Bautista, who didn't have a Jose Bautista type year last year, but I mean, he's Jose Bautista. He's still out there.
Yeah, I mean,
we got
leaves,
some guys out there.
And like speaking of sluggers, Indians just introduced Encarnacion today too.
Yeah, see, that was another one that took a while. Now I know I'm not stupid that some of these guys sometimes have contract demands. And we don't always hear things. I mean, who knows what's going on behind the scene? Maybe they've identified some teams and told their agents, work it out with these guys, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always more to the story. So sometimes when there's low on a player, it's not just the teams. It could be the player as well. And I know that. But I got to tell you, there's some good players out there. The A's took one off the board. Rajah Davis, who hit the home run off Chapman, and I think is a great – I think he's a nice additional piece to any team.
Yeah.
You know, he's that guy where if you have a team and you don't need Davis to come in and be the guy, but you just need a guy that comes in and does a lot of things well for you, what a great player he is. I like him. I think he's going to help for sure. But, again, just my thoughts on it. But, you know, you're going to start seeing more guys now come off the board because as we get closer. Mm-hmm. And I would anticipate some of these teams that are needing a bat and – can't seem to get some things figured out in the trade market. I think, you know, we'll see Trumbo and them come off the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you were saying about Rajah Davis, there's a lot of guys out there that they're not necessarily going to make your whole team, but they could be a very essential piece for a team that's looking to make a playoff run or any type of teams that are just trying to maybe get over the hump and finally get in the playoffs.
You know, I like Davis because he does multiple things well. I mean, we all know what Trumbo does, right? Put him in the middle of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not going to hit 300. Yes, he's going to strike out a bunch, but, man, he's going to drive in some runs because he's going to hit some long balls. I don't care what stadium you're in. So I think you get what you get, right, when you sign one of these sluggers. I mean, typically a guy, you know, not too many guys that are going to hit 300 and hit 30 or 40 home runs stick around too long on the market. So these guys are what they are, and somebody will benefit from having them. With that being said, you know, we were looking at today's show, and while we await the arrival of pitchers and catchers until some big news happens, started looking at some obscure stuff going on around Major League Baseball. I taxed you with finding a couple things today, and you come up with a couple of dandies. What do you got first and foremost?
Oh, yeah, well, you want to get the...
I don't... Hey, listen, it's intern day here at lineupmedia.fm.
All right.
You're in charge, son. What do you got for us first?
Well, it looks like... We got a little beef with the Nationals and the Mets. Noah Syndergaard took to Instagram today. Some of you might be familiar with Barstool Sports, and they do a shirt or now the saying that's called Saturdays Are for the Boys. And so they get all these athletes to take videos of themselves saying Saturdays Are for the Boys. So they did one of these with Bryce Harper, and Noah Syndergaard just comes in with the hot comment that I'm sure has been since deleted. Just one word, a douche. Douche.
Douche. Say that. Douche. Say that three. Douche. Doucher. Doucherama. Doucho.
Yeah.
So
not even coming
obviously
up with the variation.
It's obvious to me now that Noah Syndergaard thinks that Bryce Harper's a douche. Now, here's what we know.
Can we see him beam him next year?
Well, here's what we know. What we do know is this. Noah Syndergaard is not the only Major League baseball player that thinks Bryce Harper's a douche.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can like Bryce Harper. He's an unbelievable talent. He can do all those things. But let's face it. He's Bryce Harper. He carries himself a certain way that some people don't like. I don't care, right? Hell, he's on my fantasy baseball team. I hope he has a phenomenal year. But the reality of it is, I could see how people might think he's a douche.
Yeah, and I mean, you got...
There's people that think Noah Syndergaard's a douche.
Yeah, with the...
I'd be
with
willing
the
to bet
hair
on that.
With the... Long hair, the way he's, I don't know. But, yeah, there's even some reports of a couple of Harper's teammates at points calling him a douche or fighting him in the locker room and stuff like that. But, yeah, just like you said, kind of the way he carries himself. And there are players that are just as good as him and just as young as him, like Mike Trout and Manny Machado's really good. He's really coming up now. And you don't really see them kind of getting this attention that he's getting. So you might wonder if it comes back to some of the stuff with the bat flips or wasn't he one of the main guys make baseball fun again?
Yeah, but let me ask you. I was going to say, okay, you're a young guy. How old are you, Blake?
21.
21 years old. Wow, to be 21 again.
Okay. Might be the same age as Bryce.
I keep forgetting that your father and I went to school together. Okay, mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. As a young man, now see, I'm 47, you're 21. I love baseball. I love old school baseball. I love the whole. I like the whole thing, right? I like the being in guys. I like the mm-hmm. sticking up for your team. I like the. There's a certain way to do things, but I also like the fun. I think you can do both. I do believe that. I also think that you do what you want to do, but then don't get upset when you pay the cost of the unwritten rules of baseball. I love all that stuff. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, wrong, or indifferent. So I look at Bryce Harper, and while maybe it's my maturity as I've aged. I can see what it is that people may or may not like about him. I'm asking you, let's first go this route. Do you like Bryce Harper? Let's go first. Do you like Bryce Harper as a baseball player? Do you think he's talented? I mean, you like
yeah,
him?
Yeah, okay. No question about
okay.
that.
Okay, as a young man, do you like him?
And see, I feel kind of relatively neutral on that. You know, because obviously I don't know the guy. I haven't seen him that much in the media. And usually when the media is covering him, it's something bad. So, you know, I try not to put too much stock in that. But I don't know. I think I'm neutral, leaning a little bit more towards negative.
Okay. So as a young man, what are some of the things that you think people look at and think douche?
Wasn't there a play at some point in this season where he was like, his whole team was celebrating, and he was back cussing out the umpire or something. And, yeah, he's always yelling at umpires, I feel like. But that's one of those things that I feel like can get overblown in the media.
Well, you're the media right now.
Well,
you
yeah,
know
exactly.
That, right?
We are
okay.
the media.
Just making sure you know that you're part of the you're part of the same
We're overblown.
Hypocrisy. Okay.
But, sure. Yeah, and then some of the stuff with I feel like there was a point this season where he like hit a home run off someone and then was jawing with that pitcher, or maybe not this season, maybe just at some point. But
well, so let me ask you this then. Let me try to. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I mean, you can think for yourself. But is it the emotion? Like, do we I think we as fans, I'm going to say do we. I think we do, so I'll just say I think we do as fans. I think we want emotion, and then when it's too much emotion, we say no. That's what always has gotten me about, and that's why I try to be as honest as I can about what I like about the game. People will look at me and say, what do you mean you like old school baseball? I watched you play ball when you, well, I mean, just what it was, but you're always wearing your hat backwards and always doing this when you were younger. That's, you know, and it's like, okay, I get it. I get that. Just like I've always said, I mean, I didn't have any problem with Ken Griffey Jr. and the hat backwards and all that because I thought he was bringing a respectful amount of fun to it. It was his way of saying, look, we can do all this, and I respect the game, and I do all this. I respect the game by playing hard. I respect the game by always knowing where I came from. I respect it, da-da-da-da-da. Wearing my hat backwards is not a disrespect to the game.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of guys that would say it is, and that's fine. But I try to be as realistic as I can about what, not just myself, but what a fan likes and doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I kind of asked you your thought. You're a younger generation guy. I'm obviously from the generation before you. So you look at it and you say, you know, to me, what I see is a young guy who's uber talented, who acts a certain way and carries himself a certain way that would lend itself to jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's one thing to act the way he does sometimes. And again, I'm not even criticizing it, really, to be honest. As you mentioned, I think he's done some things that I'm not even going to say controversial. I'm going to say just over the top is the word I would use, that make you go, okay, bud. But why?
Yeah.
It's because he's so good. Now, I find it interesting that it seems like as a society, I've always said that we love train wrecks, right? We love train wrecks.
True.
That's why Bravo TV exists. I mean, you know, the Real Housewife franchises will never go away because people love to look inside lives of people that appear to have these great
and
lives.
And judge them, yeah.
And judge them because it's what we do, right? So you look at Bryce Harper, and we continually wait for him to fail, unless you're a fan, you know, and then you can immediately start questioning and doing all these things. And then, of course, it's, well, if he'd just worry about playing baseball, not worry about that. So there's always an excuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to him, I think he plays hard. You cannot say the guy doesn't play hard.
Oh, yeah. No, no disputing that.
You know, has he done a couple things on the field where, of course he has. Has he probably let emotion get the better of him? I'm sure it has.
Mm-hmm.
Is some of that the fact that he, at such a young age, was so good and almost thrust into a position where, while maybe he did or didn't have to do this, maybe there were some leadership issues? I don't know that answer. I'm not there. But let's face it, when you're a polarizing guy that has all this talent, you're going to have people that do nothing but pull for you, but then there's going to be a large faction of people that cannot wait for you to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And every little thing you do wrong will be met with a douche. So, hey,
perfect
Noah
timing.
Syndergaard, honest to goodness, okay, I would be shocked if somebody didn't say, hey, bud, you know, you do live in a glass house here. I wouldn't be throwing stones.
Because
I like Noah Syndergaard no different. But I could see people coming up to him going, what's your problem with Bryce Harper? And him saying, oh, he does it, he carries on. Somebody might look at him and say, hey, bud, back in the day, you wouldn't have that hair.
Yeah.
That hair would be gone or you wouldn't be playing. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Old rookie hazing on that
guy. Yeah. So no doubt about it. And again, I can't have this going on because I just realized something. I did trade for Bryce Harper this offseason, so I now have Bryce Harper on my fantasy team. But guess who else I have on my fantasy team?
Noah Syndergaard?
Noah Syndergaard.
Oh.
I cannot have this animosity
wow.
in the clubhouse. So let's get – I want you to use all – I very calmly ask of you, the greatest intern as I proclaimed you to be on the face of the earth, on this planet. I want you to get a hold of them both. Let's get them on here and let's get this thing fixed.
Let's
okay?
do it.
All right, you're
let's
in charge.
See what we can do.
All right.
Hey, Bryce Harper, Noah Syndergaard, if you're listening, we're calling you out. Let's squash the beef.
At Bums Podcast on Twitter. Let's do it. At Bums Podcast. BleacherBumsPodcast.com. Let's do this.
Boom.
What else you got for us?
Well, yeah, kind of also like we're talking about Bryce Harper, one of the guys who's just as good, probably better than him, but doesn't get the same hate as Mike Trout. Because
okay.
I feel like he definitely
all-American guy, everybody
way.
Loves him, walks, you know, just kind of sits out there. All he does is play.
On the Subway commercials.
Yeah, everybody loves him.
Yeah, he's so actually this is pretty crazy, but so according to CBS here, there's a relatively obscure provision under California law. It's called Section 2855 of the California Labor Code.
California Penal?
And it could allow Mike Trout to become a free agent earlier than he's supposed to.
Well, he's supposed to be. Oh yeah, how many years does he have left?
He signed a 6-year extension in 2014, so he's locked up till 2020.
Till 2020, and according to this law, okay.
This law limits all personal services contracts or employment contracts in the state to a maximum length of 7 years. So in other words, this means that if an individual were to sign an employment contract in California lasting 8 or more years, then at the conclusion of the 7th year, the employee is free to choose to either continue to honor the agreement or opt out and seek employment elsewhere. Now, they were talking about adding an amendment that would exclude professional athletes like MLB players and NBA players that are all in California, NFL players. But that amendment never got passed. So technically, any athlete who has a contract that's lasted longer for 7 years can cite this section of this labor law to opt out.
So wait a minute. I know we're talking about Mike Trout, one of the best players in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts immediately are going to go to Albert, who signed a 10-year contract and a 10-year services deal. So what you're saying is
he might not want to opt out, though.
He can opt out and come back to my beloved Cardinals, is what you're saying, and finish his career where he should have from the beginning.
Legally at his 7th year, yeah, he would be eligible to do that.
I there's so many big contracts within sports that you wonder how that'll go because, you know, you brought up a great point. Just because this is available, do the players want to do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, would the – could
– because Albert's not going to get that money anywhere
else. Here's an interesting one. The franchise that offered the money and signed the contract, can they say, hey, look, this was a mistake. We're gonna cancel this. Can they do it as well? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's I think this is more for the workers to decide.
Workers.
It was originally –
it's a union thing.
It says it was originally designed to protect employees who were just signing, like, year after year contracts that eventually would get too big and then they could opt out. But
wow.
But yeah, now it can be stretched all the way to these $1 million professional athletes. What's probably going to end up happening, though, if any player tries to use this section of this labor
clause.
Law, the MLB is going to try and come down hard and you know, get the amendment through that makes the law null and void for professional athletes, or go after the law altogether. Now, one guy that's interesting in this is Scott Boras, because Scott Boras is based in California.
Right.
So they're saying he presumably has the legal resources to help fight that battle. So, I mean, not saying it's super likely or that it's definitely going to happen, but this could be something coming.
Hey, there's
up.
There's laws that affect these guys that are different all over the place. They talk about certain states, the income tax rate, you don't pay any here, so a contract here is worth that here, and blah, 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 and all this. Listen, I'm telling you, this could be an issue.
Oh, yeah.
And I apologize to you out there. I've got this cough going, so I'm trying not to cough into the mic. I'm doing my best. My apologies.
Oh, hey, you're doing great. But yeah, the one way that this site is saying people could take it is if a player has been in the minor leagues for a certain amount of time and then they come up to the majors, they're still technically under that same contract and that same obligation. So they would
well,
not.
They own your rights for 6 years, right? Is it a 6 year?
And that's
6 years.
That's the thing. You have to be in the majors for 6 years before you can become a free agent.
Right.
So that's the rule of the league. But under this law, if someone's in the minor leagues for a certain amount of time and then they come up to the majors, they could possibly become a free agent before that 6 years.
Wow.
So the MLB definitely does not like this. And if anybody tries to use it, then they're probably going to face a lengthy court battle.
Well, I mean, I'd like to see where it goes, only from the aspect of trying to figure out, I guess, you know, where do we go from here when it comes to contracts? They don't have an issue, I don't think, of both sides wanting to argue about this. It'd be different if one side or the other felt like the other side was doing something wrong here. Let's face it. These teams want to give these guys this money.
Mm-hmm.
These guys want the money. So somehow, shape, or form, I'm sure they'll
they want job security just like anybody else.
You know, you wonder, like the NFL, although you don't see too many deals of that length in the NFL, but, you know, the NFL's always kind of prided itself as its own entity, you know, like outside of laws.
Yeah.
You talk about a corrupt deal. The NFL is about, I mean, I don't mean to tick off any of my friends over on the Hill here in St. Louis, but if there's ever been something still owned by the mob, it might be the NFL, in my opinion. But, you know, I honestly don't know, but no, that's
And the way they
very
the way
interesting
they bring down punishments and stuff with Goodell, so inconsistent.
Very interesting stuff. You know, I've noticed that we got a real problem in Pittsburgh with Mr. Kang. I mean, he's a talented individual, but third DUI.
Oh.
Yeah, what is the, you know, South Korea cut him.
In how long?
South Korea cut him. I'll get the time on that for you. But, hey, according to MLB, I mean, this guy's going to face something. They're looking at a suspension here.
Yeah.
Which makes our old friend David Freese even more important down there after he signed an extension with them after having a nice bounce back year with the Pirates.
Oh, but, he got the extension with Pittsburgh. Yeah,
but driving under the influence last month in Seoul. To the point where South Korea cut him from their national team for the World Baseball Classic.
Jeez.
That is not good. Yeah. Third known. This is okay. Here we go. The third known DUI he's had since 2009.
Wow. Yeah, that's like
one every 3 years, one every 2 years, 2.5 years, something.
Yeah. At a point, it's like, do you know after the first one, like, okay, I made a mistake.
I'm really sorry.
I'm not gonna drive drunk again. Second
I'm
time,
really
like,
sorry.
Oh, I need to get my act together. Third time, it's like you might just like getting loaded and driving. That might be just fun for you.
Yeah, I've got some interest. Hey, you know, I'm going to ask you your opinion on something. A lot of talk right now about the Hall of Fame voting that's going on. The talk really is about the no different than the presidential polls, the exit polls, so to speak, of the Hall of Faming, and it looks like the tide is turning on some of our performance enhancing guys.
Mm-hmm.
According to what I'm seeing from some of the big guys in the know, and you can all read it. It's not inside information, but it sure seems like a lot of people are ready to have Roger Clemens, especially at this juncture, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. It seems like they're ready to have them in. Now, if you read some articles that I've read, it sure seems to me like this stems from the fact that I think people that vote have decided that it's not fair any longer to keep out the guys that you're not sure about. So, for instance, Piazza went in, right?
Yeah.
Lots of speculation there, but no test proving, right? But they let him in, okay? And if I and you know, listeners, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but if I'm not mistaken, I think Piazza was part of that report. So was Bonds, Clemens. I found this article to be interesting, but I think they were all part of the same report. I could be wrong. That was it. The one that David Ortiz was a part of, that where there were not supposed to be names released, but they did fail a test. But technically, it was before it was against the rules. Now, that is a part of the article that I read that really made me go, huh? And that is, if you really want to be realistic and honest about this, even though these guys may have done it, they did it when it wasn't against the rules. Technically, now it may have been against the law. Okay.
Yeah.
But there were players doing a lot of things that were against the law that are in the Hall of Fame. Now, this brings up an interesting topic of discussion. This is always one that's going to be very passionately debated on both sides. I find it very interesting because the truth of the matter is, no matter which way I start, because I'm that guy, right? You know that, Blake, around the office. I say things sometimes for pure effect. I know that you guys kind of get frustrated with me because you probably hear me say something and you're like, does he really believe this, or is he saying this because he's wanting us to see another side? Because that is how I like to operate, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I feel you.
The interesting thing about this topic, because I love the game of baseball so much, and I fancy myself an old school guy, but I do like new things about the game as well. I could find myself really on this topic, starting on one side, and in my own conversation with somebody, I could see myself by the end of the conversation feeling completely different.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. It's just such a muddy issue. Because
yeah, clear as mud.
yeah, because there are guys that, you know, like you said, tested positive once, but it might have been before it was against the rules, and then guys that you know, the court of public opinion has just condemned as they're definitely steroid users, but
right.
never really had a positive test or anything. One thing I'm thinking, like, at a point, you know, their numbers are still going to be there. Everybody knows, like, everybody still knows how many hits Pete Rose has and that he's number one, but just that he's not in the Hall of Fame, not connected to steroids or anything. But I think guys who did use performance-enhancing drugs, they're going to start getting in because I think there's going to be more there might be more emphasis placed on that when they talk about them in the future. Like, oh, yeah, they had these connections to steroids, but still, great player. Because you can't deny the numbers.
Yeah, and for me, I guess, as I look at it, I want to say that you know, some of these guys were fantastic players. Something that I find interesting, as I've become more involved in these shows and get to know more professional athletes, we laugh all the time about, you know, they will laugh when people think that people just started doing steroids in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
People think that, you know, and they'll tell you, if you think guys weren't doing steroids in the 70s, you're crazy. They were. They absolutely were.
Testing just wasn't as good.
Well, and they didn't, there was no testing.
Yeah.
Not in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the reality of it is guys were trying this stuff. Okay. What happened is over time, the people that handled it got better.
Mm-hmm.
And they got more educated in how to use them for their betterment. That's really, at the end of the day, what happened. Now, that being said, it's every sport, too, by the way. I'm not mm-hmm. just talking about baseball. Okay.
Yeah. No,
I
absolutely.
I mean, you know, there are legendary stories with football and hockey of guys, for sure in the 80s, going crazy with this stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
70s. So to act like this is a 90s thing.
I mean, the whole USSR hockey team is roided out of their minds.
Right. To think, again, let's just say it out loud. To think for 1 minute that Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa, and Rafael Palmeiro, to think that these guys were the first guys to take steroids.
They just discovered a gold.
That's right. You do not be that naive.
Yeah.
So that's number one. All right. Now, that being said, what is the Hall of Fame? All right, is it the Hall of Fame minus the PED users? Or is it a Hall of Fame that has this aura and this mystique about it and what it means? So they always cite the clause of who you are and stuff like that being a part of it too, right? Well, if that's the case, now we're going to get into the who did what. Okay, so I hear arguments from people where they say, okay, so you just want to say that the Hall is this and that. And I come back with saying, or you want to deprave the Hall. You don't want it to be sacred. You want to let in. And I say, well, number one, the Hall, the very first day it opened, allowed in a cheat, a guy that cheated on a baseball game. It documented, right? Ty Cobb threw a baseball game or fixed a baseball game.
Yeah.
Okay. So I say to you, what we do know we have in the Hall is this. Besides the fact that we know we have great baseball players, we also have some fantastic human beings in the Hall.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what else we got in the Hall? We got cheaters. We got gamblers. We got alcoholics. We have recreational drug users. We have people that domestically have violenced people, I guarantee it. We have horrible, horrible people in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. It sounds like that song, I Love This Bar.
Yeah. Okay. That's what we know we have in the Hall of Fame. It's in there. They're in there, right?
Yeah.
They are in there. Now, so what I would say is what we have is we have a Hall of Fame of human beings that were really good at playing a game, and they make mistakes.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
The issue that I have with the PED era, I guess, and how it goes is because, number one, nobody can define when it started and when it didn't. I can't, off the top of my head, I would hate to speculate on anybody that's in there that I think may or may not have used because I don't know. You know, who knows that, right?
Like, yeah, not fun to think
about. Obviously, you can start with the most latest guys that have went in. Piazza is the first one. It sure appears that Bagwell is going to go in if you listen to the things, and we're going to go on from there, right? So it makes you wonder, right? There are some guys with some numbers that makes you wonder. My favorite is when we just assume guys didn't do it. Like, for instance, this is my favorite, okay? So everybody, and again, this is not, I want to say this, I am not knocking on anybody or trying to say that I've heard or anything. Let's take Fred McGriff, for example, though. I loved the crime dog.
Yeah.
Everybody says, well, Fred McGriff didn't do steroids. And listen, I have no reason to believe he didn't do them either. But how do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's my problem with the steroid era. Not you, per se, but you could.
Yeah.
You could sit across from me in a conversation and say, well, Fred McGriff belongs in a Hall of Fame because he has 400-something home runs, almost 500, and he never used steroids. Well, how do you know he didn't?
Mm-hmm.
Here, how do we know Ken Griffey Jr. didn't? How do we know? And we can go on and on and on.
Yeah, I mean, you could
you
say
you don't
every
really know. What I love is when the people say, well, you can look at their body and tell. And I'm like, no, listen.
Are you a doctor?
Okay, for number one, just because somebody's body type fits into what you believe a steroid user looks like, now all of a sudden, now they say, all you got to do is look it up. And I agree with that. That is true.
Yeah.
But I assure
you, signs.
Again, what I can assure you is that there's guys out there that look like they've taken steroids that have not.
Mm-hmm.
And there are guys out there, and we can name them, that have been caught using steroids that do not look like they've ever taken a steroid.
Yeah.
There have been. Does D. Gordon look to you like he took steroids?
No. I mean, he looks skinny.
Okay. So don't tell me what a steroid user looks like.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there you go.
I'm sorry. I get it.
Johnny Peralta got popped, and he had a bit of a pot belly.
A little pudgy, yeah. So there's a variety of reasons.
Big head veins popping.
Okay.
Out.
So my thing is with it is that what's your thing now? What do we have? We do have failed tests.
Mm-hmm.
We do have admissions, finally. Would it make a difference if everybody that had, if Major League Baseball went to this group and, God, and I want to say, was it 2003? Well, does that sound like the year that they did the test that wasn't supposed to go public before it was illegal to see, and like 100-something guys failed it?
Was that the Mitchell Report, or was the Mitchell Report
I think
later?
That's what it was about. But that's what the Mitchell Report was about, I think.
Okay.
Would it matter if Major League Baseball went to these guys and said, here's what we want to do? Okay. We're going to step in and tell the reporters, we want you to take it out of the equation and put guys in based off their performance in the game as long as they're not. See, Pete Rose is not involved in baseball. Like, he's not instated in the game.
Yeah.
As long as somebody's instated, they're eligible for the Hall, put them in on their merit or whatever. Could a part of that be Major League Baseball going to these guys going, look, we want all you guys to come out and say, because I think this would change public perception. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
If 103 guys said, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
If the players union went to everybody and said, hey, we want you to come out on record. Doesn't matter if it's your hometown paper. Doesn't matter if it's ESPN. Doesn't matter if it's Major League Baseball tonight. We want you guys to come out and say, yeah, I did do it. And let me tell you why I did it. Because that's the conversation that I guarantee you a lot of these guys would like to have that have probably kept it bottled up inside. The conversation probably is something like, yes, I did it. Let me tell you why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you think it's right or wrong, this is why I did it. Now that may look something like, you're damn right I did it. I was a player that had an opportunity. Because, man, I got to tell you, when Bob Gibson comes out and says, you know what? I may have done it in today's game for sure. So, and you hear that from other players as well that are honest and open. Now, people would say it's a lot easier for them to say that because they either didn't do it or they've never been associated with it.
Okay? Yeah.
So that being said, it always makes for an interesting topic. Now, would it make a difference if all of our favorite players from that era came out and said, listen, yeah, I did do it. Does saying everybody did it and I had to do it to compete, does that make it any better? I don't know. I mean, it's no different than at when your kid comes home, and you don't have any kids yet, but this will happen to you. When your kid comes home and you say, what'd you do that for? And he says, well, everybody was doing it. And then you smack him across the head and say, if they jump off a bridge, you're going to jump off a bridge too?
Well, yeah, exactly.
So now we're getting into morality. We're getting into right and wrong. We're getting into all this. And everybody's got to live their own life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is just an interesting thing because, again, A, I say and have always said, we have no way of knowing without a failed test or admission, who really did it. All we have is speculation. B, we don't know when it really started because you can't tell me when it really started.
No one's going to know who patient zero of steroids
okay,
was.
And C, anybody that thinks it's not still going on is naive. We have guys getting popped right now. It's not an everyday thing, but we have guys getting popped right now. Minor league guys, major league guys, guys you wouldn't expect, like a D. Gordon, okay? It's not just for muscle-bound guys hitting home runs.
Edwin Encarnacion, wasn't he? He got popped for steroids when he was on the Giants and then left the Blue Jays, and now he's with the Indians, just signed a big deal. So that's another thing that people talk about is, like, these guys who got punished And, like, people criticized the Cardinals when they signed Peralta to a big deal. It's like, do these guys failed tests, and now they just come back in the league and they go on and they get big deals. But, you know, there's something to be said about you served your suspension and you paid your debt to society and all that. One thing to your point earlier about all the people that we got in the Hall of Fame, I think that's a great point, because one thing I heard, who was it? It was Chris Carter. He said about the NFL Hall of Fame, and I think this is true for a lot of sports Hall of Fames, is that the NFL Hall of Fame to him meant that you could not tell the story of the National Football League without mentioning, you know, this player who made it in to the Hall of Fame. And I think that's something to be that's kind of a thing that Hall of Fames can aspire to, because you can't tell the story of baseball without steroids. If you omit these guys from the Hall forever, you know, 100 years from now, people are still going to know who they were and know about this era. I mean, it's kind of silly to think that by not putting him in the Hall of Fame, we're erasing this.
Well, yes or no, because I'll hit you with two things, and I'll take your opinion on both. Okay, number one, Shoeless Joe Jackson is not in the Hall of Fame, and neither are any of his teammates from that Black Sox team, right?
Well, yeah, they
okay. They the story, but the story here in 2017 is still told. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you could go the other way and say, people 100 years from now will look at stats and say, how is Barry Bonds not in the Hall of Fame? How is Pete Rose not in the Hall of Fame? How is Roger Clemens not in the Hall of Fame?
Mm-hmm.
And the story gets told because somebody says, well, they were in the steroid era and they took steroids and da-da-da-da-da. So the story still gets told. So I understand what Chris Carter's saying, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
What I guess my point on it has been and always will continue to be that it is, in my opinion, it's the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Describe fame. It can go a myriad of ways, right? It depends on how – it could fit any description you really want. That's depending on how you want to change the narrative. What I do feel is that they have guys in there and recent guys that they put in a few years ago, and I want to say it might have been the Veterans Committee that did it. But, like, when they let in a Mazeroski,
mm-hmm.
There was a lot of talk, like, is it the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Good? Okay, or the Hall of Great Moments. In that vein, is David Freese a Hall of Famer?
No.
Because he had one of the most unbelievable moments. So my point is,
some
I didn't,
of the stuff is in there, though.
But I didn't feel like Mazeroski belonged in, even though he was a good player, right? There's all kinds of, like, you know, there's really, really good players that aren't going to get in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another thing. Describe good player. Is it really all about how many home runs, how many hits? That's what it's come to be for, I'll be honest with you. There's a large faction of guys that are in there purely based on this plateau of number.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get into the who they are part of it, right? And then you've got to say, see, you can't bury your head to the fact of what I said, and it is true. We've got drunks, racists, drug users, and cheats in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to draw your line right here at this thing. Well, who decided that? That's my thing.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Okay, and then, and I thought a good part of the article was, okay, so you want to hang your hat on, well, they were illegal. They weren't against the rules. Okay, well, they were illegal by law. Okay, well, so was speeding. You're going to keep out every guy that sped.
Yeah.
I I'm not stupid enough and naive not to know that one argument doesn't carry as much weight as the other.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of the matter is, though, is that it's like I've said numerous times, who died and left you in charge of setting the parameters other than what they really truly are? And that is the day the Hall of Fame opened and Babe Ruth and his drunkenness and his carrying on ways. I mean, he was a cheat on his wife. He was an alcoholic and probably is still the greatest player to ever play the game of baseball.
Yeah.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Ty Cobb was the meanest, racist son of a bitch you ever met in your life. Fixed a baseball game, mm-hmm. and is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why are those characteristics any different than a guy that decided to take steroids because he, whatever reason he took them, to be better, to break record, to do whatever, right?
Yeah.
To think for 1 minute, like, who knows the effect, right? Like I said, there are some guys that take steroids that
or don't even make it to the major leagues. So mm-hmm. There's no guarantees with them, right? But I think that's why they call them performance enhancing, I guess, because
yeah,
it's easy to say when a guy does well that,
you still gotta have
that the drug enhanced him, right? Okay.
Yeah. Like Barry Bonds still had it but
so,
he might have
so
not.
So did Mark McGuire. So yeah. I get it. So my point is, who draws the line on what a drug is and the difference it makes in a game? I assure you, you get anybody in here from the 70s and the 80s, okay, and you ask them the effect that amphetamines had on the game of baseball. I'm serious. They may not have translated into whatever. The bottom line is baseball players have always been looking for an edge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Whether
yeah.
it's mental, whether it's on the field, off field,
any
whatever
sport,
it is.
Really, but yeah.
That's right. It any started with this. So that's when it, you know, coffee, amphetamines, and people say, well, coffee's not illegal. Well, amphetamines are illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just the upgrade.
Some of the recreational drugs that have turned into, like, you know, the game became littered with cocaine,
mm-hmm.
okay, which is basically like a, you know, an amped up drug.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so now we've moved on to, you know, obviously steroids, human growth hormone, things like that affect the body. Okay, what about the fact that, you know, how many players in baseball want to take Ritalin to be able to concentrate, to be able to focus? I don't know that a lot – I don't know that anybody has the degree or the pedigree to sit here and say one drug is any more enhancing than the other. Because if they weren't enhancing, then they wouldn't have – somebody may have tried it, but they wouldn't have continued to use it for that purpose unless it was enhancing.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
It's like drinking your milk.
Yeah. And like you're saying, the steroids might have started earlier than we think about it of the whole steroid
sure.
era. And so maybe – maybe that's
here's my favorite.
One thing. That's
here's
the one they
favorite,
decided was
somebody.
Working really well.
Here's my favorite. I said to somebody, how do you know Reggie Jackson didn't take steroids? Oh, look at him, they said. And I said, well, okay, number one, and that's when the whole look at him argument starts. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can look at somebody and tell.
Yeah, so you're
a doctor.
The
guy goes, well, look. And I said to them, I said, well, listen, I got to be honest with you. I've seen, like, interviews with the guy when he'd have that tank top on, and his chest and shoulders were abnormally large on his body to me. It looked mm-hmm. weird to me.
Yeah.
So if something was going to strike me as weird
mm.
and look different, that looked weird and different to me. Does that mean he did them? And again, I'm not saying he did. My question is, if you're looking for something odd about somebody's body, Steve Garvey, look at his wrists.
Yeah.
Remember Steve Garvey's wrists and Ron Say? Remember those guys?
A little bit.
Now, these guys had forearms that looked like tree trunks.
Mm-hmm. Matt Holliday kind of has that too.
Well, but, yeah, I mean,
not as much though.
Well, my point is though, I mean, he's just a generally big dude. That mm-hmm. again, I don't want to speculate. I don't want to speculate on anybody because the minute you start speculating, people go, "Oh, this guy must have heard something." No, I've heard nothing.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the thing. I don't know anything. I don't know anything any more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody always has somebody that knows something though. That's always my favorite. Again, though, all I'm saying is that. You know, we have admission guys. We have guys that have admitted doing it for whatever reason, whether they felt like they might as well, they've been caught, they needed to, whatever it was. I'm surprised more and more there's not more admission from guys that just want to be able to say, God, it feels good to get it off my chest, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I felt like Mark McGuire being the first one that really heavily dealt with the whole thing. Because, and you know what? If you're going to do it,
mm-hmm.
and B, you're going to break one of the most historic records in the game of baseball, you've brought a little of that on yourself, so I'm not feeling sorry for anybody here. But I felt like he had a great, I'm not going to say point, but what I did appreciate about him was that, you know what? I thought it was interesting that he said, listen, you know, in his own words, I'm not even paraphrasing. I'm drawing off pure memory. He basically said, you know what? People freaked out about this too when he said it. He basically said that he felt like he could have broke the record without the drugs. He said, you know, in his words, that he didn't feel like he got any credit for developing as a player mentally
mm-hmm.
that comes with it. And again, I would have to say, and this is what kills me, okay, everybody – gosh, I apologize, folks. It kills me how he came into the league his rookie year, and did he hit 49 or 50 as a rookie? It was right there.
Yeah.
Either way, it doesn't matter. And everybody says, well, yeah, I mean, he didn't need the steroids. He hit 49 or 50. Well, again, how do you know he wasn't taking them then? I don't know that, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, so again, I can go that way too, right? So my point is, there's a lot of things that have to go into the perfect storm of breaking a record or just doing something great,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, could he or couldn't he have without my – I would have to say you'd have to honestly say, of course he could have. I don't know if he would have.
Yeah.
And don't know if he would have without him. So
he clearly had big potential.
Yeah. The whole hitting and the whole concept of getting better and understanding and visual, I mean, that he was known for all that. Here's the thing that we do know, though. We won't know. We won't ever know. We won't ever know about any of these guys, yes, no, maybe, when it comes to the guys that we don't have an admission from or we don't have a confirmed failed test. Speculation is the word of the day when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. Where we go from here, I don't know. But it looks like that tide is turning based on what I'm seeing. And it sounds like some real people in the know, like a Bob Nightingale, whoever, looks like their theory on this is it may not be this year, but it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
They're garnering enough support where it's probably going to happen in the next year or two. So I don't know. Any thoughts from you at all? Like, is it going to bother? Like, obviously, the two at the top of the list right now
mm-hmm.
are Bonds and Clemens.
Absolutely.
If they get in, your thoughts?
You know, I mean, I wouldn't be mad, but at a point, if you're gonna let them in, then you gotta start looking at guys like McGuire and Sosa, and then getting them in too. It's just so tough to get an all-encompassing policy for all these guys because there's so many different situations and levels of speculation. And different guys have different amounts of failed tests. So, like, every situation's different, but you try to come up with an overarching solution for the entire thing. And I think that's what really makes it tough for these voters.
Yeah, it's funny. I think back trying to remember as a young man when I first started realizing something was going up. I got involved in the first fantasy baseball league I ever got involved in. I'll never forget. I worked for a law office, and a guy asked me if I would draft his team for him. He was an attorney. He couldn't go. And I said, he goes, you love baseball. You play baseball. I go, yeah. I go, but I don't. He goes, here's some material. He bought all this stuff, said, hey, read up on this. Go to Demos in Belleville. We're having a draft. I said, okay, I'll do it. So gives me all this stuff, and I start reading. Some of it was newspaper-type material of very recent news. Like, I think it might have been Baseball News or Baseball Weekly or whatever it was at the time. And I remember I was going through trying to look at who the players were on every team because, obviously, I was a Cardinal fan. And at that juncture, the Cardinals weren't very good. I want to say this is late 80s. This is when the Cardinals were struggling, the like 89. Days. Yeah, 90, okay.
89, 90s. 90s were bad.
This is when, I could tell you almost the exact year, this is the year that's before Sosa broke in the league. So if you looked it up, I could almost tell you. Because there was a neat article about Sosa getting traded from the White Sox to the Cubs and how the Cubs thought he was going to be a great player and blah, blah, blah. Because I remember reading that. The other article that I distinctly remember reading was about the Texas Rangers and about two players in particular. And it happened so long ago. I would give anything in the world to know the guy's name that wrote the article. He was basically describing what he was seeing in spring training. And he said, look for Juan Gonzalez, and I'll never forget this, look for Juan Gonzalez to have a monster season. He has shown up here and like 50 pounds heavier with a 34-inch waist. And I remember going, man, that guy really put in some work this offseason. And then the rest is history.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so that leads itself to the whole what is a body transformation? How does a guy put on – because he had also in the article, I think, mentioned that it looked like he lost weight but put on 50 pounds. So he must have – like his waist size must have shrunk and put on all this weight. Is that a realistic transformation? Most guys would say no.
Right? Yeah.
So exactly. That's where the whole – I can look at their body and tell, well, of course. Because he also cites in this article that I read recently about the Hall of Fame and the guys that you aren't sure about, Pudge Rodriguez's name comes up because while I don't know that he ever had – I think he's a speculation guy. I'm not quite sure he was in the Mitchell Report, although he may have been and I could be completely wrong. But I do know it mentions in here that the one thing about Pudge Rodriguez was – The year they started testing for steroids, he showed up 30 pounds lighter for spring training.
Hmm. So a lot of people are going to just
– He lost 30 pounds.
Look at the body transformation yes. there.
And I remember that. Do you not remember that? The end of his career, how small he looked?
I remember that part at right. kind of tail end there. He was right. with the Nationals or something.
And what doesn't hurt help these guys are the guys that are admitted users,
mm-hmm.
okay, and the way they look. Like, I was a huge Lenny Dykstra fan. I loved the way he played the game. I also watched the transformation. I watched him play for the Mets
mm-hmm.
and be that who he was, Nails. I watched him go to the Phillies and become the guy. But I also watched him. I remember thinking to myself, because that was about, I want to say Lenny Dykstra is the first player that I remember openly having a conversation with somebody about saying, that guy's got to be taking steroids.
Hmm.
He's the first. And it was because I loved him as a player, right? I remember thinking to myself that Lenny Dykstra looked to me like if I took a pin, like a needle, and I walked up to him and said, hey, Lenny, and I poked him with it, he would just go pop and just explode. He looked like he was going to explode out of his body. Like, he's not that big,
mm-hmm.
and it's like he's almost growing out of his skin is what it looked like to me. So those guys don't make it any easier on the Bagwells of the world, on these other guys that
That's
may
true.
Or may, you know what I'm saying, the Piazzas of the world.
Yeah.
See, the Piazza thing is where we outsmart ourselves. Well, this guy was the last player taken in the draft, and now he's 400 and something home runs later, and it's like, well, hey, listen, that's who are we to say that it was steroid? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I remember seeing them do a piece last year about. They had Ken Griffey Jr. was the number one overall pick, and then Piazza going in.
What an unbelievable thing. Was it not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was so wild. But then I didn't hear – I don't think they brought it up on SportsCenter that time when they were talking about, like, the whole steroid thing. But, yeah, that's definitely one you hear. And, like, it's almost completely unfounded. Like, I want evidence. Like, you're
well,
in this country,
Griffey.
You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty.
Let's end it on this. Let's use Griffey because mm-hmm. I love this one. Because let me tell you something. He's one of my favorite players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The kid. Love him. Okay? My favorite is, well, he had an unbelievable first 10 years in the league, which he did.
Yeah.
And then when he went to Cincinnati, it was, if he would have taken steroids, he would have been. Think about that. And I sit here and I think to myself, I would never want to disparage a name or a person, but I sit there and say to myself, well, what do you mean? And they're like, well, you know, he just couldn't stay healthy. If he could have taken steroids like these other guys did to stay healthy. And I sit here and go, but you're also the same person that argues that all the injuries happen because of the steroids. So Griffey kept having these same injuries. Did he take them? And that's why?
Yeah, and that's
so
what
is,
some
people
speculate.
Again, not saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Like when guys come back
from
injuries
super fast. Because the
bottom line
is this. We use whatever argument we want to use to fit our narrative
mm-hmm.
as fans.
Pretty much.
Which, hey, that's our right to do. Again, if it's your guy, you want him in the hall.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm indifferent about it. I lived right through the McGuire thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was knee. It was, we were knee deep in it here in St. Louis. Did it save baseball? Well, I can tell you this. It sure seems like it did. I guess we could never say for sure. But boy, there's an awful lot of people in the know and involved in it deeply that
mm-hmm.
will tell you the Sosa and the McGuire thing absolutely saved it. And the reality of it is, if you're going to look at things. Mark McGuire had an unbelievable season, had a great career,
mm-hmm.
had an unbelievable unbelievable couple seasons. You know, Sammy Sosa had a very nice career.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go off numbers, this guy's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he hit 60 home runs?
Not 100% sure.
He had it four times, something like that.
Mm, yeah, one of those.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up real quick
maybe,
before we leave. I mean,
maybe three.
Do you? I mean, I'm okay.
My guess is three.
Okay, so how about this? So let me ask you this question then. We'll leave with this while I look this up because I want to know. Okay. Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire, for what they did for the game of baseball, do they belong in the Hall of Fame?
You know what? I say yes. I think I'm coming around to.
You're right. Three times.
Hey, look at me.
Three times.
But. I think I'm coming around to some of these guys like Clemens and Bonds and McGuire and Sosa, who just because like you said, we already got a bunch of these guys who weren't so great in there, and you know I think you put them in, but I think you definitely put as like maybe a little sentence in their plaque, just like there was a point in their career where this person was linked to steroids or tested positive to steroids.
And a guy would say, I deserve that on my plaque. Why?
Yeah. See, I would only put linked for like positive tests and
admissions.
Yeah, admissions. But
and then the guy that says, okay, so I get that because I told you the truth and this guy's a liar. I mean, that again, we're a whole nother conversation.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
but for today's topic, you know, when we were looking for things, this is an interesting thing. Hey, listen, it's to be continued.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not
always
over.
Ongoing.
It's not over. So, Blake, I appreciate you doing the show with me today.
Oh, hey,
awesome
always a pleasure.
With the guys being gone and as we get rolling into the new year here, I know you, what do you got coming up? Getting ready to head back?
Got going to head back. Classes start back up again the day after MLK Day.
Well,
so
got a we'll miss you. You're, like I said, you're best intern in the country.
Oh,
tied for first, for sure. Hey, that's Blake Bamper. King intern for sure.
At Real Blake Bamper.
I'm your host, Jim Cromer. And for Steve and Jono and Fish, I want to say goodbye, so long. We'll see you on the field. Catchers and Pitchers Report in a very short while. Again, this is the Bleacher Bums. Make sure you check us out, bleacherbumspodcast.com. Social media, at Bums Podcast is our Twitter handle. And don't forget to go to Facebook. Check us out, Bleacher Bums Podcast. For Jim Cromer, Steve, Fish, Blake, Jono, see you next week.
Oosh.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.